Are you asking me questions for in the course of doing some official act? And they'll respond, yes, we are. So just be alert. Common sense. Don't most people feel, oh, I want to show them I'm a good guy. I want to show them that I'm compliant, that I'm not really a violator. And you do too much. You talk too much. So just be cautious and think what before you say. Now, beginning on page number 3, we have Roman numeral number 4, the letter investigation, the notice of proposed certificate action. Pat Phillips from Orlando, Florida, has a lot of experience in this area, and Pat's going to talk to us about those things.
Thank you, Harry. Well, it's always good to be back out at Oshkosh and see friends and talk about flying and enjoy aviation in its best form. As Harry said earlier, as we go through this, if you have any questions or comments, since we're all involved in this together in the aviation world, please feel free to make a comment or ask your question. That way we can see also what people are, what we're really interested in. Okay, well, you've got your hand out, and what we're going to do is talk about a letter of investigation, an LOI. All right, as Harry had said, you've got a scenario where you're flying to Oshkosh, and during the course of flying to Oshkosh, you've interfered with other traffic, or in the course of taxiing in, you've interfered with other traffic, or you failed to follow air traffic control instructions, and as a result, you've caused either a collision or you've caused somebody else to deviate. As Harry said, one of the first things that the air traffic controllers can do, or the control tower can call you, is say, call me on the telephone. As Harry had said earlier in his talk, if the air traffic controllers say, call me on the telephone, the question is, do you call? How many say yes? How many say no? Huh, okay. No opinion. Okay, all right, that's why we want to talk about this a little bit. I think I heard the question was, is it a requirement to call if the control tower says, or ground controller says, call me on the telephone as you taxi in? There is no federal air regulation, there is no state or federal law or statute that says you have to call. So, with that in mind, then you can make a personal decision, do I call or not call? Now, I know John and the AOPA has had one position on that. What's your all's position on that, to call or not call the tower if ground control calls on the phone and says, give me a call after you tie your airplane down?
Yeah, we generally recommend that you do not call until you've gotten some guidance from the Enforcement Council of the AOPA, and you know where your best thing to fly, then you can make a call. Otherwise, you cannot call.
That's the recommendation, is do not call, but again, that becomes a personal decision, do you call or not call, because what's going to happen as soon as you call, number one, you admit you're the one in the airplane, you admit you're the one flying the airplane, and you're probably going to admit the violation that you're probably alleged to have made, and as you admit it, you're probably going to come up with some excuse, which is only an excuse and not a defense, is why you violated. That's the reason you've got to have think it through very, very carefully before you do call, if for some reason you do decide to call. Yes, sir.
If you do call, how do you phrase it so you don't feel anything from there?
Well, that's the trouble. We really don't have a recommendation as how you would phrase it, other than, I'm responding to your call and under advice of counsel, or I want to have my attorney call you later, or I respectfully decline to give you any statements, just as politely as you can, don't do it. Now, obviously, if you're the wrong airplane or they've got you mixed up with somebody else, you may want to call and clarify it. If you're absolutely positively sure that you're the wrong person, obviously, you may call them at that. But again, you've got to make sure absolutely, totally, and completely you're sure. Yes, sir.
Is the person from ATC that you would talk to federal agent on the credit?
Yes.
Yes, unless it's what if he's a contract control tower?
Well, I would say the advice to everybody here is assume that they are, and assume that you're under an obligation not to
tell anything that's his fault.
That's correct. And it also goes back under 18 U.S. Code 1001 that Harry just talked about. If you falsify something, tell something that's non-truthful, you certainly could be looking at a criminal violation. John, do you have a comment?
I wanted to offer just two illustrations. Now, they actually do deal with responding to the letter of investigation, but they're illustrative of the point you're trying to make. The bottom line is, while you want to be cooperative with the FAA in their investigation of the matter, you don't want to make unnecessarily damaging admissions. And let me give you two actual cases. There was one case where there was a university flying group that was flying around the country. They were all flight instructors for this university. There were five of them on board a Piper Aztec. And the chief flight instructor was with them, was assigning different legs to individual flight instructors. And on one of the legs, it was a female flight instructor who was manipulating the controls. The aircraft ran out of fuel and affected a precautionary landing without damage to the aircraft, without any personal injury. But the FAA investigated the matter and in due course sent out a letter inviting a response, a letter of investigation that we've already talked about. And this female flight instructor responded saying she was pilot in command at the time when this incident occurred. Then the enforcement process ensued, the things that you're hearing about, and the time comes for a hearing before the National Transportation Safety Board. At this point, the female flight instructor has gotten some good guidance, and the guidance was, were you really the pilot in command? You're on board that aircraft for the convenience of the university doing this flight training. You were assigned this leg by the chief flight instructor. The aircraft was going where the chief flight instructor was telling it to go. And even when the engines quit and the aircraft had to make the precautionary landing, the chief flight instructor took over the controls and made the landing. Under those circumstances, was the female flight instructor in the left-hand seat the pilot in command? And it was a legitimate inquiry and an arguable point. In the hearing on that matter, the letter of investigation, or the response to the letter of investigation, making the admission that the female flight instructor was the pilot in command, was considered by the judge as being an admission that, in fact, she was the chief flight instructor. I mean, she was the pilot in command. One more quick illustration, let me tell you about. Father and son flying along. This is, again, an actual case. I won't go into the details. An event occurred that was allegedly a violation, and the father was so distressed by this. His father was flying the aircraft at the time. So distressed by this, he responded to the letter of investigation, but instead, the son took it upon himself to say, okay, I was the pilot in command. Again, the procedures ensued, and it became apparent to the son now all of the terrible things that would be visited upon him because he committed this violation. And the father and son decided now to say, okay, no, that was not the situation. The father was the pilot in command. The son was not the pilot in command. Nevertheless, the response of the letter of investigation made by the son admitting that he was the pilot in command was used in evidence. So the bottom line is, sometimes if you don't have the opportunity to deliberate on exactly what's happening and where your best interest lies, you could be making unnecessarily damaging admissions. And I think those two cases kind of illustrate the point.
Let me add one thing to it. Wait, Mike. Let me add one thing. If you're told to call the tower, I would call the tower, and I would ask them, and he says, hi, and start asking questions. First of all, before I answer any of your questions, why do you want me to call the tower? What are you looking at? and what do you want in information from me? I would ask them to see if they will tell you what they're looking at and what they want, what reason they want you to call a tower. If they won't, I think you've got a very legitimate excuse and say, well, we're not going to play cat and mouse. I'm not going to play your game. If you explain to me what you're looking at, then I will consider whether I'll respond. I'd do it that way. Just be cautious. Mikey, that's it.
I start feeling like a Fox News report, right? I got to go fair and balanced. And a great, in a number of these minor instances with pilots, let's say you came into the pattern the wrong way or if I didn't find out the deviation, air traffic has discretion of whether they're going to send their report forward to report it as a constant violation. So if you don't call the tower to talk about it, they have a choice. If you call them, they may just say, hey, look, you kind of cut somebody off on final. We don't want you doing that sort of stuff again. End of business. And that's it, and they won't send forward. So, you gotta wait.
You're absolutely right. I was gonna make the point. Sometimes all they wanna do is just some information. Well, you really didn't talk to me clearly. You didn't acknowledge my clear. It's something that gets cleared up very quickly. The one good news is the controllers hate the paperwork. They hate filling out all the forms. They hate signing all the statements. They hate going through all that biddly-diddly to file a violation. So the odds are in your favor that if it's something they can dispose of and end, they will do it. But you, again, as everybody has said, you have to weigh all the risks. Sorry.
I think that's a great debate. We've heard John's view is don't call. Harry says, yes, call and ask questions. That's probably my view. If somebody would have the presence of mind to find out what did you do or what are you being accused of. Like I said earlier, if you're absolutely sure you're the wrong person, you could tell them. Otherwise, if they won't answer your questions, it sounds like you'd be better off, again, respectfully declining to talk with them. Now, to increase the debate, Mike, you appreciate your comment. Your key word was they have discretion. Now, there's always exceptions because you can correct me if I'm wrong, but in some cases, I think air traffic controllers do not have discretion, such as if there's been a minimum separation violation.